Holy Father, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity here in your house on your holy day. I ask that you'd bless us with your angels. Thank you for their ministry, that they excel in strength, and that you have many times sent them through the scripture to come down to your people to deliver messages. Today, Lord, may they help in delivering this message to your people today. This is what you have done with your servant, Daniel, and I pray that you'd bless. Loose my tongue, help me to share your praises, and Father, please don't trust me with a single word as we are together. Thank you for your Holy Spirit to teach us as well. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I like to say that I was raised up in Southern California in a halfway house. Halfway to heaven and halfway to hell. You see, the reason being is my mother was a Christian, my father was an alcoholic, and my father was very bold in his desire to serve himself, and my mother was doing what she could to serve the Lord. Now, you can imagine how difficult it would be for my mother to serve the Lord when my father was constantly drunk and yelling, and he had his friends over, and he had his activities. My father was a very prominent person, so when he walked into the room, everybody knew that my father was there. I say was because my father passed away in the year 2000. But I may talk a little bit about him. I said just a word during the series about my father, but it was awkward growing up being a Christian from my mother's perspective, being a fully dedicated worldling from my father's perspective. And so I was confused as a kid. I very early on decided that I would follow my father's example because it was cool. You see, it was cool to be 7 years old and smoking cigarettes. My sisters, older than I were smoking already. And so I'm the youngest of four. My brother is 12 years older than I am. My sisters are 6 years and 2 years older than I am. And so when they were smoking and I was seven, they gave me my first cigarette. And then I thought that was really cool that I smoked. So I told my friends that were generally older than I was, and they happened to have cigarettes. And my father had cigarettes too, so I'd steal them from him out of the refrigerator. He kept them in the fridge. I don't know why, he just did. And so it wasn't long after that. And, you know, before that, I think as a child, I did love God. I believe that. My mother did what she could to encourage me at church to love the Lord. Except, you know what? I remember the church that we went to in Southern California, Anza, California. Anybody ever been to Anza, California, just south of Palm Springs? Nobody. You're one of the few groups that has not been to Anza. You have missed out on almost nothing. I love the place. It's in a valley, kind of like Squaw Valley. It's like that a little bit. But anyways, I just love it because I was raised up there. Anyways, you know, at the church that I went to in Southern California, I was one of the youngest people there. And my two sisters, my brother had already moved out, but my two sisters were there. Everybody else was older and old. And I'll tell you, some of those folk were just mean. I remember being a very active kid, and they were mean to me. And so I want to encourage you, friends, be nice to the young people. Sometimes they're a little bit more busy than the older folk, but just be cool about it. I've seen so many times angry faces on the older folk. You know, I've been pastor for 12 years. I pastored from 2000 to 2012, and since then I've been doing media and preaching and missionary work and Bible studies and all that stuff. I'm still doing almost full-time pastoral ministry, even though I've got a full-time job doing other things as well. So it's good. I love it. I enjoy it. But raising my kids, I try to explain to them sometimes when they tell me, Papa, this guy over here, he was mean to me. I say, you know what? Sometimes there's a lot of reasons why we're mean. And you try to explain to your kids about why some of the church members are not saints. It's like that little girl. She says in prayer, God, Please make the bad people good and make the good people nice. And you know, there's a lot of truth resounding to that little prayer, you see. And so that, just right off the bat, I never put down notes for my testimony. And you know, it's just telling me right now, God has said that to me that I need to share the fact that when I was a kid, sometimes the older folks were upsetting. And so, yes, it's a rebuke. Accept it as such. But learn from your mistakes. Amen? Amen. Sometimes we as Christians need to put a smile on our face. And I'm guilty of it too, so I'm talking to myself. But listen, I was raised up as a child that, as I said, loved the Lord until I was about six or seven. I remember around that time, I started feeling a lot bigger than I was. Because, of course, I was cool now, you see. I was doing stuff that nobody else did. So at 9 years old, I had a father that would always yell across the party or across the house, "Partner, give me a beer." I almost sounded like him when I said that. And so I'd go get a beer and I'd bring it to him. And I was okay doing that, you know, as a kid. But pretty soon at 9 years old at parties, and he'd say, "Partner, give me a beer." And I'd go over there and I'd crack open the top of this cooler and I'd see all the different kind of beers. But I knew my father liked the Coors. And so I'd grab a Coors and I'd close it, I'd crack it open for him and take a sip. I'd hand it to him. And he'd say, hey, what's going on here? I said, "Well, I just opened it for you." He's looking at me, looking at it, and he's, "All right." And he takes a drink. So pretty soon, at 9 years old, I start drinking those beers that I'm getting for him, because I would take one for myself and my friends, and then I would take one for him, you see. And then pretty soon, I was stealing beers from our neighbors, because my neighbor, Stoney, was his name. He had a, what do you call that? A place where they would prepare meat. What is it called? A butcher shop, yeah. So he had a butcher right down there, and he had all his friends coming down. Sometimes he would leave a 12-pack or a 6-pack in there. I'd grab the whole thing. I'd hide it in the garage, and I would drink it periodically. And my mother and father, they had vodka and alcohol and all kind of stuff in the garage underneath, and I'd be in there drinking, and nobody knew. I would have my friends in there, and nobody knew. At 9 years old. Why? Turn in your Bible to John. We're going to see why. Turn in your Bible to John. John chapter 3. The Bible says, John chapter 3, verse 35. The Father, he loves the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. Now, yes, this is talking about the Father in heaven giving to Jesus everything that's in his hand. But let's bring it down to the earth for a second. My Father loved me. I know that. But by his actions and by his neglect and by his example, he gave me all things into my hand. All things that he had. You see, he smoked. That's where I got the cigarettes from. And that's probably where my sisters started smoking too. He drank, and that's why I started drinking. You see? And then after drinking, I started hanging out with some of the older folks. Because like they were the ones that could buy the beer. And so on the weekends, I'd go hang out with Robbie and with, I don't even remember their names anymore, which is fine. But I used to hang out with these people, and they'd have all the beer. And so 9, 10, 11, I was drinking. But at 10 years old, because of smoking at 7, drinking at 9, at 10 years old, I took my first hit of marijuana. Because my friends that I would drink with, because my father gave me his example, had marijuana. And so it was from 7 to 19 years old, I was involved in smoking, drinking, and drugs. Okay? Turn in your Bible to chapter 5 of John. Chapter 5, verse 19. The Bible says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them," in red letters, verse 19, "Verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things he sees his father do, these things he will do also. It says in verse 20, for the father loves the son and shows him all things that he does. Huh. That's kind of profound, isn't it? When you look at it, not just between the father and the son being God the Father and his son Jesus Christ, but you as a father showing an example to your son and your daughter. That's pretty heavy when you see it through that perspective. Like today, by God's grace, he called me to be a Christian before I had a family. Kind of. I mean, it was at 19 that I had my first abortion with a girlfriend. Okay? But before I had my first family, like real family, I was already called to be a Christian. Praise the Lord. Because I've been able to give my kids now a very different perspective than what I was given as a kid through my father's example and my father's influence on my mother during that time. Okay? Praise God, my mother is here with us. She is a Christian still. And I am amazed that she, looking back through our history as a family, was willing to stay committed and faithful to my father until the day he died. And as a result of that, I believe, and partly that I had become a Christian and the Lord was working through my mother and I, called my father 3 months before he passed away to want to be baptized by his son. So thank the Lord for my mother. My mother, by the way, is recording this sermon right now behind the video camera. And she has been editing these videos as well, amazingly. She said, I'll do it for you. Teach me how to do it. So I showed her a couple things, and she's running with it. She's amazing. So these videos of the whole series she's actually preparing, they will be available. If you're interested in them, please let us know by giving us a phone number, and we will call you when they're finished, a couple weeks after the meetings. No more details, just letting you know that they're going to be available. Some people have asked. That's why I'm saying. So listen, the son can do nothing of himself except what he sees his father do. Let's go to John chapter 8, and I'll read just a portion of verse 28. John chapter 8, verse 28. The very end, the very end of John chapter 8, the Bible says, I'm sorry, John chapter 8, verse 28. It says, as my father has taught me, I speak these things. I praise God that since I was born with an earthly father, I have been born again to now have a heavenly father. Because now my heavenly father teaches me different things than what I learned from when I was a kid. And I'm thankful for that. I praise God for that. Today, I'm teaching my children very differently than what I learned from my earthly father. And I think we as parents can learn from this. We can take up our role as parents and grandparents and realize that we have a very strong influence in the lives of our children. Amen? Yes or no? Amen. So today, my son is 12, my daughter is 9. Every morning, they have made themselves a habit. It's a very good habit. They spend time in prayer and they spend time in Bible study on their own every single day. Amen. Every single night, Papa, Mama, and the kids, we gather together and we have devotion together. And we spend time with the Lord. We talk about it at the breakfast table, at the lunch table, or at the supper table. I'll ask them what they read for worship. We'll talk about these things in the car. We'll sing together. We have Christian music in our home. It's wonderful. We have a great experience as Christians. We're happy to be a family. We're happy to be alive. Why? Because I have been learning different things from my heavenly Father. And I love it. It's wonderful. So, since being 7, 9, and 10 when I entered into drugs, I have been in 11 major accidents. Two at 65 miles an hour. One at 75 miles an hour. Two at 55 miles an hour. Two at 45 miles an hour. I rolled a truck at about 35 with another car coming directly at me. They swerved as much as they could because there was a cliff on the other side. They swerved and went around me. Otherwise, they would have probably just took off my head. I fractured my skull in two places in the same hit. I've had three surgeries on this hand and one surgery on my ankle. And I'm telling you, God is good to have kept me alive through all these things. There was twice I've had a gun to my head. There was once I was passed out in some room, I don't even know what, it was made out of stone, but the chimney with the fire in it had backed up. I was the only one there laying on the couch, I was passed out, and black smoke has filled this room. At about 2 or 3 in the morning, I don't remember the details, but my buddy, Max, who was spending the night at my house, which was not where I was passed out, which was across, like, up this long dirt road, across the road, up another long dirt road. He was in my barn. He was sleeping there. I was passed out on the other side of the road in some house that was, you know, consumed with smoke. He all of a sudden wakes up at about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and he's like, "Where's Daniel?" He gets in his car. He drives around, finds me in this house, opens it up, and is like, "Hey, man, get up." He didn't drink, by the way. He wasn't a Christian either. But my mother was praying for me. So, "Get up, man, get up. Come on, get up. You got to get out of here." I'm like, "What? What's going on? What's going on?" I'm coughing and everything. "You're going to die. Get out of here." He puts me in his car, drives me up, and I fall out in the garage where we were supposed to be staying the night together as friends. So it's amazing how the Lord can do these things. When I wasn't paying attention to God, didn't care for Him, I cared for myself. But my mother was praying for me, you see. Twice, I was very near drowning. Once from total exhaustion. The other time, I actually had my lungs filled with water and I couldn't breathe. Finally, my body convulsed enough to where I was able to spit some out and I could start breathing a little bit, enough to start coughing. It was a weird feeling, let me tell you. So God has kept me alive through all of these things. Several gang fights, been cut with a knife once. All these things have gone on in my life. Why? Because I wasn't serving the Lord. I was serving myself. And so turn to Romans chapter 6 for a second. Romans 6, starting in verse 16. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. "Don't you know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" There's no third option. You only get two choices. You either serve the Lord unto righteousness or you serve the enemy unto unrighteousness. Okay? And it says in verse 17, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." Verse 18, "Being then made free from sin, you've become the servants of righteousness." And oh, I tell you, I really want, with all that is in me, to be a servant of righteousness. I don't like to do what's wrong. I don't like the way it makes me feel. I certainly do not like the consequences. I don't like the way it makes my children or my wife feel or other people around me when I hurt their feelings. I don't like it. I frankly do not like sin. Well, sure, it's fun, but I don't like the consequences. Hebrews chapter 11 says it's fun. You can enjoy sin for a season. Moses, though, he said, I don't want to do that. Because we have something that will last forever compared to a temporal thing on this earth if we choose righteousness compared to sin. And to me, it's just logical. If you want a happier, better life, follow the Lord. And it's not about gritting your teeth and following Him. It's about submitting, allowing Him to live His life out from within you. It's from getting life from His holy word. It's from being filled with His Holy Spirit and directed by His angels. It's having Him walk, act, touch, think, speak, and listen through you. It's about Christ. And if you follow that path, you actually have a good experience. Since I've been a Christian 18 years ago, I have had a very good experience. And I'll tell you, since I've been a pastor for 12 years, I know that not all Christians have that kind of experience. Many Christians, many of them, they will have a high time as they're right, and before they're baptized. They'll have a little bit of a high time after they're baptized, and then all of a sudden, their experience blows. Why? Well, then for a while later, they're feeling great. They're like, want to be evangelists, and they want to preach, and they want to share the gospel with their friends, and they're on Facebook talking about how good God is. And then pretty soon, they want to be alone, and they're depressed. And it, you know, might last a little longer this time than it did last time. Excuse me. And sometimes they go on and they have another powerful experience because of a week of prayer that they went through, or because their child wants to be baptized, or whatever the experience, I don't know. And so for a while they're having a great time, and then pretty soon it starts dropping down again. Why? What's going on? I have found in my pastoral experience with many different people that what has happened in the lives of many of the parishioners I have been responsible of pastoring is that they are not consistent in their personal devotions with the Lord. And that's the problem. I was expecting at least one amen. Amen. Let me say that again. As Christians that I've been experienced with, if they have not had a good experience as a Christian, it has been most often because their personal relationship, devotional experience has been strong sometimes and then it's weak sometimes. And it's strong sometimes and then it's weak sometimes. And what happens with their living experience? They're excited for a while and they're depressed for a while. They're excited for a while and then they're depressed for a while. It's really that simple. If you have a connection with the Lord that is rock solid, if you walk with Him daily, if you're praying with Him continually, if you have His Word in your heart and you're reading from it every single day, you will have as good a Christian experience as is possible. If you neglect the Word of the Lord, I say unto you, as Paul did in Hebrews chapter 2, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Some people neglect their Bible so much you could write condemnation on the cover because of the dust that is gathered. Romans chapter 6, verse 19. Now verse 20. When you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness, but what fruit did you have in those things whereof you are now ashamed? You could ask me that question. Okay, Daniel, what kind of fruit did you have in those things whereof now you are ashamed? Well, let's see. I was in 11 major accidents. I got into fights with all my girlfriends. I had literally, as an 11th year student in high school, I had a 0.83 grade point average. Do you know what that is? A 1 point is 6 D's, okay? A 0.83 is 5 D's and an F. I had a 0.83. And it's not because I'm dumb, it's because I had a bad attitude. That's also because I was stoned and drunk many times and hung over in my classroom. What kind of fruit do you get from following sin? A lack of education, hangovers all the time, the wrong kind of friends, scars on your face and on your body from the fights you've been in, surgeries from the accidents, having to kill kids because of an abortion, not being able to take care of them at such a young age. Are you kidding me? Those are the fruits that you get? No, thank you. I want Jesus in my life. I want Jesus in my kids' lives. I want them to walk with me into heaven because I plan to be there. I want to serve the Lord and meet him and thank him personally for what he has done for me. And oh, that my wife would be there too. And I believe she will be. She's a Christian. Oh, that my sisters and my brother who are not Christian, right? Well, I don't know that they're Bible-believing, Bible-following Christians at this point from the fruits that I have seen. Oh, that they would be in heaven and all of their families and their children, etc. Wouldn't that be great? To rejoice together with your family under the tree of life. I want to be there. I want to do that. So the Bible says there are many that are ready for the harvest, but the laborers are few. I labor for you kind of folk. I don't even know who you are sometimes, but I'm preaching my heart out for your sake. Would to God he would send somebody like me that's willing to share to my family. Sometimes it's pretty difficult to share with your family. Have you ever noticed that? Oh, you're just preaching again. Whatever they say. You know, they know who you are. They've lived with you. Some of them even changed your diaper. And it's difficult to share with them. But sometimes you need to do it. Now, I think I am going to share about my father. Every single time after I became a Christian, every single day, and still today, I pray for my family, asking the Lord to bring them closer to him. And every single day when I prayed for my father, the Lord would bring to my mind that song that says, in his time, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Oh, Lord, please. Every time I would pray for my father, my heavenly father would bring that song into my head. And so I'd say, Lord, I believe this song is from you. Make it happen. One time, I decided, you know what? I'm having a hard time reaching out to my father, so I'm going to write him a letter. And so I decided I was going to write with my hand a letter to my father. And it was a one-page, big letter, big worded letter, I don't know. And so I write on this thing saying, Dad, partner is what we called each other, partner, you know that my life is different now because I'm a Christian. I accepted God in my life. I tried to make it very simple for him. He was not a reader. He didn't take the time to read and educate himself much, so I wanted it to be simple for him. I said, I plan to be in heaven. And partner, I don't want to be in heaven without you. So what brought me to where I am is I started reading the Bible. The Bible literally changed my life. And I want you to read the Bible for yourself. To study and prepare for baptism, be baptized, because the Bible teaches in Mark 16, verse 16, he that believes, that's the point there, he that believes and is baptized, the same shall be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. So Dad, listen, I want you to be in heaven. Pray to God, read your Bible, prepare for baptism, fellowship with my mother at the church. You'll find some good friends. And I hope you're taking this seriously. Love, your son, Daniel. I don't know if he ever read that, but I bet he did. So, I don't know if it was a long time later or when it was, but I had a birthday party coming up. I had already become a Christian. And Dwight Nelson was going to present what we call Net 97. You remember that? So Dwight Nelson's going to preach. Dwight Nelson's very educated. He uses big words. But I felt like, you know what? This is going to be a big opportunity for my dad. So I said, Dad, I've got a birthday present I'd like for you to give to me this year. He was always thinking about money. He made pretty good money as a plumber, and he had his own business. So he probably thought it was something financial. I said, Dad, this is what I want. There's a series of meetings coming up right next to where Mom is. I guess you were probably living together at that time. I'm not sure. I think so. Dad was up there already in 97 in Northern California. So I said, there's a series of meetings, a Bible preaching series of meetings that's going to be done right next to your place. I want you to go to as many nights as you're willing for my birthday present. And he went. After about the fifth night, he was done. He said, I can't understand this guy. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm done. But hey, listen, the seeds of the gospel were sown in his heart. Amen? And so I was praying with him, and God would bring that song. In his time, he makes all things beautiful. You know the song. And so I'm thinking of this song, and I'm praying for him. So I was a missionary in Michigan. And it happens that as I was working and I'm sitting with what would later be one of the elders in my church, I'm sitting there and talking with this family I had visited. I get a phone call, pick it up. It's my dad. My dad never called me except that he would tell me what my mother was wanting. Okay. He says, hey, partner. Hey, dad, what's going on? He says, when are you coming home? I said, well, I don't know. It's going to be a long time. I'll tell you quickly if I remember all the details. I was in Michigan. I had to go to Colorado. I had to go back to Michigan. I was going to go to Honduras to hold a series of three-week series of meetings, go back to Michigan, stay there for like 6 months, go to Florida, stay there for 3 months, and then I was going to come back to Michigan, and then I could come to California, okay? So that was my year's itinerary, and I wasn't going to be home till like December, and it was January or February when he called. So I'm like, man, I'm not going to be able to be there for a long time. Why? What's up? He was quiet. He says, well, the doctors have told me I got 6 months to live. I said, hey, man, partner, I could be there tonight. No, that's too soon, he said. I said, all right. But, you know, I'm reeling from that information because we knew that he was sick. He had been drinking alcohol ever since he was a kid. You know, he was not healthy. But for him to say that to me was heavy. So I'm tearing up and I'm waiting for him to say the next thing. And he says, partner. Yeah, Dad. I want to be baptized and I want you to baptize me. I said, wow. I said, you know what? I need to go to Honduras. I'll be there for 3 weeks. I'm going to come back to Michigan. I'll be there for a time, and then I'll come, and we can do this. I can't come before I go to Honduras, but start studying with the pastor. So it ends up that he starts studying with the local pastor once a week. Pretty soon he asks the pastor to come over twice a week. So twice a week he's meeting. So pretty soon he's asking the pastor sometime. I was told by the pastor that he was coming over three times a week. And the pastor, he asked my dad, he says, Daniel, what do you want from these studies? And my dad said, I want what my son has. There's very few times I can say that without crying. Praise the Lord. I plan to see my father in heaven. On resurrection morning. So, I don't know how long it was after that he called me and talked to me. I think it was about 3 months or so, but I got to Northern California in a plane, and he went into a coma as I was in the air. I never got to say anything to my dad again. And he died 12 hours before I was able to baptize him. I had great faith that he would have resurrected, I guess, from his almost death. But he didn't. But we had, I believe by God's grace, I will see him on resurrection morning. Amen. And I'll tell you, if I am persecuted unto death before that day, and if I'm resurrected, I'm going to be looking for my father. What about you? Do you have friends and family that you want to reach? You might have to call them. You might have to send them an email. You might have to write them a letter. You might have to send them a series of meetings like this. You might have to do something for them. You might have to fast and pray, asking God to reach out to them. I don't know what it is that God has got on your heart for your family, but do something. Amen. As a teen, I was the drummer of a heavy metal band. I played drums for 9 full years. I had hair all the way down my back. I could grab it like this. I had a bad attitude. It was all about me. I had a beautiful girlfriend. I had a job at 18 years old making $25.57 an hour. I was broke by Friday because I spent it on myself, the drugs, the drinking, my friends, and my girlfriend. I didn't save a dime. So it doesn't matter if you make good money in the world, there's a hole in your pocket. It happened that my mother kept praying for me. My mother kept praying for me. And one day I'll tell you, I was laid off of work and I was collecting unemployment, acting and living like the devil. And it happened that I start hearing this voice. Go get your Bible. Go get your Bible. There's a lot that's before this, and I've shared my testimony over the internet. You can find it, and you will hear a very different rendition of it. So I'm leaving out details, but let me share this part. I hear this voice in my head. This was after I quit drinking, smoking, doing drugs, and anything. I wasn't listening to music at this point. My diet had been changed, all radically, just by literally choosing. I didn't realize it was God who was working in me through logic at the time, general human logic, and my mother's prayers. So it happens that I start hearing this voice in my head, go get your Bible. Go get your Bible. And I couldn't stop this voice. So I said, all right. After days of this, I had to drive about 3 miles away, break into an old barn that wasn't mine, where my parents had stored their stuff for a short time. My father was a gambler. He was a drinker, and he didn't know very well how to take care of finances. So as a result of his lifelong journey of working to provide for his family, they went bankrupt, okay? And so they had all their stuff stored in an old garage. I unloaded everything from a trailer in this garage that I had broken into. And after unloading all this stuff, looking for that, to stop that voice, go get your Bible, I went and I finally, at the very bottom where all the books are, I found my Bible. And I'll tell you, it was the weirdest thing. As soon as I grabbed it and knew that it was my Bible, the Spirit of God leapt in me. The only way I can say it was like a biblical thing is, remember when Elizabeth heard the voice of Mary and the babe leapt in her womb? It was kind of like that, except of course I wasn't pregnant, I assure you. Okay? But there was something in me that stirred with delight and joy, like fulfillment, as I grabbed my Bible. So I throw everything back into this trailer, I lock up this old garage, drive back three miles or so up into my house, and I set my Bible on the counter. Whew, I got my Bible. So it happens that after a short time after that, not very long, just a couple days, I hear that voice again saying, read it. Read it. Oh man, I didn't want to read my Bible. You see, my mother was a Christian, and at the time, I did not even like my mother. Couldn't stand her. Couldn't stand my father. So when I learned that I should read the Bible, I felt like, no, that's for the hypocrites. That's for the people like my mother. That's for the people like that you know, are pointing out sin and stuff like that. I didn't want to. So after days of this, I finally was like, all right, I'll read it. I remember grabbing the Bible, and as I picked it up with the intent to read it, all I can say, it was a holy moment. I'm holding the Bible. I'm in my room. The house is empty. I'm all alone. And I'm thinking, I don't know how long it was. It was probably a half a minute or a minute, but I remember thinking, if I read this book, something's going to change and it's not going to be the book. I knew it was the time that God was calling me to be different. And I knew as a kid that the Bible was holy. I knew the seventh day was the Sabbath. And I remember thinking God was the creator. I didn't know anything about the second coming. I didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. I didn't remember anything about the angels. I didn't remember almost anything. But I knew that the Bible was God's word. And so when I was holding it, I remember praying these words verbatim. God, how do I get to heaven? I opened up the Bible and it fell open to the back, more like this. There were studies in the Bible in the back. My mother had given me a Bible that had Bible studies in the back. And right at the top on the left-hand side, big bold letters, something like, who goes to heaven? Question mark. It was a direct answer to my prayer. And I started crying. I knew that God was there, right there. It had been so long since I was in a holy moment, if you will, that it just broke me down. I start reading, and I'll tell you, I was so filled. I was so nourished by the Holy Word of God that for the next year, I read the Bible anywhere from 6 to 8 hours every single day. I couldn't get enough. I was being filled. My soul was starving. And this is where I was finding the power, the beauty. The Bible talks about in Psalm chapter 29, verse 2. In fact, let's turn there real quick. Psalm 29, verse 2. Something that I read that I found so beautiful. Psalm 29, verse 2. The scripture says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I remember that phrase, the beauty of holiness. When I read it for the first time, I don't know when and where, what study it was. I remember reading that verse and thinking, wow, I can have the beauty of holiness? I remember that being very attractive to me. Like I could actually be holy. God has called me into the beauty of holiness. I remember being really inspired by that. And then it wasn't long later, I was waiting for a friend at a park and I had my Bible, I cracked it open and I read Psalm 119, the entire thing. It's a long one, so it took me a minute, but you know, I was waiting anyways. 119, Psalm 119. David goes over and over and over the same thought through as many different perspectives as he can. Lord, that I would be able to keep your law and bring you glory. That my life would reflect you and your law. Your word is a light unto my feet and a light, how do you say it? Thy word is a light unto my feet and a light unto my path, lamp. And so it's like, God, all these ways of how that David was trying to say, your word, your law, your commandments, your precepts, your judgments, they are what brings me to you. I remember reading that and being so pumped up. I wanted to share Psalm 119 with the world. Like we can actually be holy and we can be true. Yes, it's true. It's possible. And it's only with Christ. And it's only through being connected with him. John chapter 6, when Jesus is preaching a sermon in the synagogue, he says, I am the bread of life. You need to eat this bread. He says later, the words are what really gives life in verse 63. The words that I speak, they are truth. They are life. They are spirit. They are life is what I should say. So the words, according to Jesus' own mouth, are life. And you can have that holiness through those words. So it was after I started reading the Bible, after reading and reading and reading and reading, I ended up going to a mission college in South Dakota. After going there and learning more day after day for hours and hours studying the Bible and learning more about the Bible and actually had my first sermon there, I was supposed to have a 15-minute presentation on my own personal testimony. I got up with fear and trembling. I stood up there, I preached for 7 minutes with my knees shaken, I started crying, and I sat down saying, I will never do that again. I couldn't stand preaching. But God has a way of changing our hearts. Amen? So it wasn't long after that I started becoming a missionary. I was a missionary all over North America. I've traveled probably 12 different countries in the world preaching in those different places. And I have been a pastor for 12 years. I have a wonderful family. The Lord has blessed me. It has not always been easy. It has not always been good. There have been times where I have wrestled with my own personal sin. And I'll tell you, it almost led me to suicide as a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. Okay? Almost led me to suicide as a pastor. When you start playing with God and sin at the same time, it's the wrong way to go. But when God gives you victory over sin, it is happiness. It is fullness. It is peace and joy and love, faithfulness. All those wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. I tell you, it's real. It's very real. And I have an amazing family. So after being a pastor for 12 years, now currently I create media full time. It's almost like spreading the gospel further than I could from a pulpit like this. I'm preaching in many ways to the world with media, DVDs, videos, audio projects. I make movies and create websites and a whole bunch of stuff like that. So it's good to be alive, and I look forward to the Lord using me further. I look forward to the Lord reaching people through me, his humble servant, through his holy words. That's why I'm preaching meetings like the ones that we're involved in at night. And I look forward to my family enjoying a Christian experience on this earth with me. Now, it will not always be easy. The Bible says in Timothy, we will suffer persecution as Christians. But I'll tell you, there is not a better way on the face of this earth than walking with the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. I could go back. I could go back to what I did. I know how to do it. I know how to get physical fun in this world. I know how to go to a liquor store. I know where to get drugs. I could have a lot of pleasure very quickly. But to give up what God has given me now and the pleasure, the joy, the enjoyment, the fulfillment, to give that up, to get that, it doesn't even compare. I promise you, if you're wrestling with these things, if you're part of the world and you're not fully Christ's, you're not enjoying life. There is much more. And God wants you to be his 100%. I want to be God's 100%. Because I've tasted the world and I've tasted the Lord. And the Lord is better. I promise you. So who wants to say, Lord, with Pastor Daniel Mesa, I want to surrender my life 100% to you and your holy word. Let's see your hands. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this time. I pray that you'd please lead and guide us as we continue to learn through your holiness, your holy word, your spirit and your angels, what you want of us. Lord, you have seen the hands in this place saying, we want to surrender our lives to you and to your holy word. You've done amazing things in my life, Father, and every one of us can tell of how you have ministered to every single one of us. Help us to share the word of your testimony with those that are around us so that we can be a blessing and be an encouragement. Thank you for life. Thank you for your word. Continue to guide us, we pray. And thank you for the people that have been coming to these meetings that haven't heard these things before. May they be driven to you. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.